Mm-hmm.
It is a conspiracy in the land.
It's a conspiracy to wipe out the black community and the
whole. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to log in, load up, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself in swag while sitting on your sofa, sipping Ace of Spades, watching messages from the local sponsors, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Steinberg administration during an uncut broadcast of Schindler's List. It won't consist of Instagram pics posted by Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Ben Jealous eating dinner together at the juice bar on 125th Street, showing off their current situation. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by New Nigga Cinema, and it will not star Nene or Flavor Flav, Cicely Tyson, or Tyler Perry. The revolution will not give you street cred. The revolution will not correct erectile dysfunction. The revolution will not make you an American Idol, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Muhammad popping champagne at your going away to prison party, because you got caught by every camera in the neighborhood kicking that dog and grabbing that old lady. CNN will not choose the dumbest eyewitness in the crowd to give a concise description of just what happened. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of brothers shooting down pigs on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of brothers shooting down pigs on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Gwyneth Paltrow being run out of Harlem on a Vespa with a brand new weave. There will be no slow motion or ass shots of Buffy the Body gyrating on a rented Rolls Royce with a wet black power t-shirt that she had been saving for just the proper occasion. Real Housewives, Olivia and Brit, and the Kardashians will no longer be so damn relevant. And women will not care if niggas are making it rain in puddles of sorrow, because black people will be in the streets looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no YouTube clips of parrots singing the national anthem, or Sweet Brown screaming she ain't got time for that. The theme song will not be written by Kanye West or DJ Khaled, nor will it be sung by 2 Chainz, Nicki Minaj, Taylor Swift, or Trinidad James. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a flash flood, flash fire, or flash mob. You will not have to worry about the gecko in your glove compartment, the tapeworm in your gas tank, or the Trojan man in your back pocket. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not spray on a darker complexion. The revolution will give you wings. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution won't be on demand, brother. The revolution will be live.
The revolution is being televised, and it is live. It is being televised by body cams and cell phones and the eye in the sky street cameras and doorbells and doorbell cameras. It plays out every day on TV, in the news, in and on the streets, in schools and businesses, and in our homes across the world, and of course on the World Wide Web. WTF, when you see these letters or hear these letters, you usually think, what's a cuss word? I don't cuss, so that's what I say. Today, they stand for Why the Frustration? Why are we so frustrated over what is going on? As you hear in the background, What Is Going On by Marvin Gaye in the world today. Why are we still seeing mass shootings? Hate crimes, wars on the rise. What is happening in the world? What is going on with society these days? Where is the love? Where is the compassion? Can the madness stop? There is a lot in store with this topic. Why the frustration? WTF. Welcome, worldwide listeners. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Out Designs. You can listen in, join in, log into the chat room, or just go ahead and call 845-241-9985 this evening, Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. On Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. So let's go ahead and talk about it. WTF, why the frustration? Dial in to discuss the frustration on 845-241-9985, or you can share this with others who you might think would benefit from these conversations. Why am I so frustrated, and what am I frustrated about? Aren't you frustrated about something? Are you frustrated about anything? Oh, let's go ahead and let's talk about, yes, what's the news today? Tyree Nichols. Yes, Tyree Nichols. Okay. I got a question. Why were the policemen chasing after this young man? I'm still trying to find out. I'm in the news. It's like, okay, they said he was pulled over for reckless driving. Really? Reckless driving? Is that what he was really pulled over for? Or was it because he was driving while he was black? But thing is, it's black on black crime. Five black officers pulled over a young black man. For what? Reckless driving. How reckless of a driving was he doing to be aggressively beaten by the police and then die in a hospital 3 days later? Can somebody please answer my frustration on that? I'm just, you know, there's too much going on. Why? 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 Why am I frustrated? Because it seems to happen to the most random people. But it's like random black people for doing nothing. Driving while DWB. I guess that DWB, yeah. Driving while being busy? No. DWC, driving while colored? No. Driving while AA, African American? No, just driving for being who you are. And the squadron that was, what do you call it, deactivated, the Scorpion Squad, they're real stingers, as you could say. The police, Memphis police, deactivated the unit that fatally beat Tyree Nichols, the so-called Scorpion unit. And you know what it stands for? Do y'all know what it stands for? Well, I'm going to tell you if you don't know. Street Crime Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhood. Okay, the young man was driving reckless. He wasn't out there shooting people. He wasn't speeding. He wasn't street racing. He was just driving reckless. How reckless was he driving? Was he really driving reckless? Okay, let me see. I'm just trying to figure out. It says videos, as I was saying, the eye in the sky, released Friday evening by the city of Memphis, showed that officers dragged Nichols from his car on the night of the traffic stop. They also shouted profanities through the confrontation. At one point, an officer tried to deploy a taser at Nichols and then began chasing him on foot. I'm just trying to go home. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm not trying to sell drugs. I'm not trying to beat nobody down. I'm not trying to knock over any old lady. I'm not trying to rape anybody. I am trying to go home. Sound familiar? Trayvon? Nichols could be heard shouting, saying on the video, officers repeatedly kicked, punched, and used a baton to strike Nichols as he lay on the ground. 5-1. What are the odds? 5-1. And the man didn't look like he weighed more than 150, maybe 170, if anything. 170 pounds, maybe. Dripping wet or dripping in blood or something. 5 officers involved that night have been fired, arrested, and charged with his murder. Memphis Police Chief Cerulean Davis said the 5 officers violated multiple department policies, including excessive use of force. Yeah, okay, he's still in the car. What's he doing? He didn't go for a gun or anything. I just don't understand. Including excessive use of force, duty to intervene, and duty to render aid. The traffic stop was unusual, and I'm getting this from the www.npr.org. The traffic stop was unusual. Philip Stinson, a criminal justice professor at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, described the initial stop as highly unusual for a variety of reasons. Let's see. It was not a normal traffic stop, he told NPR. They were not in marked vehicles. They were not wearing normal police. They were not wearing normal police uniforms, and they pulled him out of the car, got him down on the ground, and pepper sprayed him. Okay, he's down on the ground. What are you pepper spraying him? Why? I'm frustrated. And why? Because the young man was just trying to go home. The officers involved were not on typical patrol duty. They were a part of, as I said earlier, a specialized unit known as SBU, not really SBU, as a specialized unit as the Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhood, otherwise known as Scorpion. The unit was launched in 2021 to reduce violent crime and the number of violent hotspots in the city. Let me keep reading. Sue Rayer, the former sheriff of King County, Washington, who was on the president Barack Obama's task force on the 21st century policing, said that specialized squads can develop an aggressive culture that sees their work as a kind of war where everybody in the neighborhood is their enemy. Really? Come on now. Come on. Come on. Adams from the University of South Carolina also pointed out that the officers were unusually young and inexperienced. To be in a specialized unit. Okay. That's number one against them. The amount of force was unwarranted. Police are generally trained to use a reasonable, necessary amount of force to accomplish an arrest. But the police officer's involvement far beyond that, since it said usually you go above and beyond on your duty, on your job, but this is way past far beyond. They did not really seem to have an interest in getting him in handcuffs. They seemed to have an interest in giving him a beating, a beat down. Okay. Was there a mark on his forehead for beating? Today I'm going to beat this young man because he's trying to get home. And why? I'm still wondering. You can call in and, you know, we can talk about it, 845-241-9985. That's right. 845-241-9985. If you're out there listening, you can call in, and it says the so-called Scorpion Unit, which stood for Street Crimes Operations to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhood, while the heinous actions of a few cast a cloud of dishonor on the title Scorpion. The statement went on. It is imperative that we, the Memphis Police Department, take proactive steps in the healing process for all impacted. How can you heal someone who's dead? Will that mother ever see her son again? No, except for on the day that she's put, you know, in the coffin and they go walking past them. That's all. And in pictures that she has on, you know, on the wall or on the mantle or somewhere, or now just in her heart. You know, that's just crazy. That is so crazy. That just hurts me. Officers are supposed to use the least amount of force, keywords, least amount or words of force necessary to bring somebody into custody. But you got 5-1. 5-1. 5-1, which is really unnecessary. But Stinson said the use of force quickly escalated into deadly territory. All of the blows were to the head with the application of deadly force. They were trying to beat the boo-boo out the man. I mean, beat him into submission. After he submitted, he's going to either have a concussion, he's going to be showing the white meat of his head, or some brain matter, because all of the blows to the head were the application of deadly force, he said. This is Stinson who said this. Such extreme measures are only supposed to be used when there is a reasonable belief that it was immediately necessary in order to protect an officer or another person from a threat of death or serious bodily injury. Okay. The man is down on the ground, probably face down. Couldn't see who was getting beaten by. He's pepper sprayed. Of course, he tried to run, and he was tased, so that was probably all prior to before he was put to rest on the ground. And so why? Yes, I'm frustrated. WTF, why the frustration? Because this was unnecessary. If we could just go back in time, and you know, this is crazy. 5 blacks against 1 black young man who was just trying to get home. The certainty wasn't the situation here, Stinson said. There was somebody that they could have taken into custody, and handcuffed very quickly had they chosen to do so. But no, they chose. I mean, they use a young man as a punching bag, a beat down. You know, you take your baton and, no, Pabu, you don't do that. No. That is not how life goes. It's not how it's supposed to go. No. Other officers could have intervened, but did they? No. They intervened all right if they intervened on his head and his body and the rest of him. But this is what this article says. Stinson said police officers have a legal and moral obligation to intervene if another officer is using excessive force. Doesn't it sound kind of familiar, like George Floyd? It was 4-1, I think, there. This is 5-1. This doesn't seem right. I mean, George was a big guy, but still, you know, you got this man with your knee on his neck. They got this young man beat with a beat down and pepper sprayed. No handcuffs. None whatsoever. None. But in the videos, it appeared that there was very little intervention from surrounding law enforcement. Oh, I think I'll just whistle here. Shortly after the arrest videos were made public, Shelby County Sheriff Lloyd Bonner said that 2 deputies who arrived at the scene had been relieved of their duties pending an internal investigation. But earlier this week, 2 Memphis Fire Department employees who were involved in the initial patient care at Nichols were also those people who were supposed to be taking care of this young man were also relieved of duties pending an internal investigation, a department spokesperson said. Stinson noted that officers have a duty to render medical aid, but the footage shows very little medical aid, medical support from medical personnel or officers. It took more than 20 minutes for an ambulance to arrive. 20 minutes. So he was beat down for 20 minutes? Really? That looks like someone being stoned in the Bible. There's a lot of things that could have been done, could have been done at the very basic level without any sophisticated equipment. A couple of handcuffs is all. But you didn't see anybody trying to render aid or try to comfort him. Simpson said, every now and then he'd fall over and then they'd prop him back up. This hurts me. He described the lack of care as complete callous disregard and indifference to the value of human life. That was reported by NPR's Martin Cass, who contributed to that reporting. Can you imagine? Just imagine. As you know, this takes me to A Time to Kill with Matt McConaughey. Just imagine if they would have taken some type of render with aid or anything. But no, that seemed too much like right. Too much like right. I don't know. Do people need to go through more training? You know, sometimes I'm wondering if they need to have a mental health advisor even for the police people. What do you think? Call me, 845-241-9985. And the thing is, according to www.cnn.com, they still don't know what led to his death. What? Why? Can anybody see something? Why? What we know and still don't know about what led to Tyre Nichols' death. Okay, this is CNN. It's been almost 3 weeks since a traffic stop in Memphis led to a violent arrest, and 3 days later, the death of a 29-year-old black driver. Tyre Nichols was hospitalized after he was pulled over on January 7th. Seems like the 6th. January 6th was the riot. January 7th was this man pulled over. January doesn't seem very good for people. Police have said 5 Memphis Police each Department officers who are also black were fired after an internal investigation and are facing criminal charges, including second-degree murder. Key questions remaining unanswered as the nation already alert to how police sometimes treat people of color, especially following the mass protests of 2020, waits for police to release footage of the incident. Here's what we know, the police confrontation. On January 7th, around 8:30 p.m., Memphis police pulled over a vehicle with suspected reckless driving, according to a statement from Memphis police. A confrontation occurred between officers and the vehicle's driver, later identified as Nichols, who then fled on foot, according to Memphis police. Officers apprehended him, and another confrontation occurred, resulting in Nichols' arrest. The incident happened a few blocks away from his home, so he was almost home. Memphis Police Chief Sheridan C.J. Davis told CNN's Don Lemon on Friday, "We looked at the cameras, we've looked at body-worn cameras, and even if something occurred prior to the stop, we've been unable to substantiate that at this time," Davis said. "We've taken a pretty extensive look to determine what the probable cause was, and we have not been able to substantiate that," he said. "It doesn't mean that something didn't happen, but there is no proof. Also unclear are who was involved in the initial police encounter, how far Nichols fled on foot, and how officers apprehended him, how long these confrontations lasted, or why officers felt compelled to confront Nichols twice, not once, but twice. Two times, that's two fingers. Beyond police body cam footage, just after the entertainment around the city at businesses. Anything that could help paint the picture about what happened prior to the traffic stop, Davis said. After the officer stopped Nichols' car, there is a physical interaction involving Nichols as the officers are trying to get him out of the car, but it's still unknown what the original reason was for the stop. Still, people are going, From the beginning of the encounter, the chief said the officers involved were riled up. The escalation was already at a high level, David said. The nature of the traffic stop was very aggressive and loud communication, and it escalated from there, she said. During the initial altercation involving several officers, pepper spray was deployed, and Nichols ran, Shelby County District Attorney Steve Nolroy said at a Thursday news conference. Nichols got away, but the officers found him again in another location. And at that point, there was an amount of aggression that is unexplainable, he said. There was another altercation at a nearby location in which the serious injuries were experienced by Mr. Nichols, Mulroy continued. After some period of time of waiting afterwards, he was taken away by an ambulance. I'm going to read this. I heard him call out for his mother, for his mom, David said, referring to the video. Just the disregard for humanity. That's what really pulls at your heartstrings and makes you wonder. Why would a sense of care and concern for this individual just absent from the situation by all who went to the scene? Then there was an elapsed period of time before getting medical help for Nichols after he was injured during the traffic stop by Memphis Police Motor Show. Why? You don't have to raise your hand, Joe. I see you. Put your hand down. Put your hand down. I see you, and welcome, 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 welcome. How you doing, Joe?
Put my hand down?
Yes, you don't have to raise your hand. I know you want
yes,
to speak.
Yes, I do. I might
go
want to listen
speak,
without
sir.
Coming in.
Oh,
you know
you.
We talked about this redhead.
And?
Are you getting an echo?
1, 2, 3, echo. It's okay.
No, are you getting an
yes.
echo?
Yes.
You are. Okay. I'm
okay.
going to fix it. Oh, well. But in any case,
okay.
I go to your description page, and it is WTF. Jeez.
Yes.
What a Christian. Oh, my. What's upsetting you?
But what
for
is,
you to use that.
What is,
oh, boy.
Okay, look. But you went to the description page, but did you read the whole description? Why the frustration? That's what WTF stands for today. Why the frustration? You didn't read the whole description.
How do you know? What makes you think I didn't read the whole description? I'm talking about...
Because you said what...
You
said a Christian. Why the frustration? That's my WTF for the day. It says, what's the cuss word? Do you see that? I don't cuss. So you see, I didn't use the people out there, as you say, description. Why the frustration? How you doing, brother from another mother? Joe? Oh, you called back in again. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Joseph. Okay, you there? Yes, brother from another mother. How you doing? Yes, and no echo.
How you doing? God, I can tell you're in a serious mood today. I'm going to have fun with you tonight.
Oh, you know you are, but you know you're not going to pull up my heartstrings. You're not going to make me upset because I'm not going for that.
Oh, I don't intend to make you upset. All I like to do is irritate you a little bit so that you get a little bit like your finger gets closer to the mute button. And then as it gets closer then you change your mind.
You know, there's not only a mute button, but there's an also I can hang you up button. Oh,
yeah, that too.
You didn't know that, huh?
Of course
no,
I knew
that.
I
know
Man,
you did.
It
I
doesn't
know.
Matter. If you're going to have one of those moments.
I'm
oh,
not.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. So you're talking about current events, I presume, and why we're undergoing whatever the...
Yes, go ahead. Well, just everything. I'm just frustrated because, I mean, you would think we would move more towards a little peaceful livelihood, but it seems like we're going in the opposite direction. And it just hurts my heart, that's all. You know, it just hurts my heart. So many people are dying, and then the next thing I was just talking about Tyree Nichols, and you know, like he got, you know, as I say, got dead. You know, he was murdered in essence. You know, what do you have to say on that whole situation? Or do you?
Is he the one that
got
shot?
He was the one that. Got beat basically, and he wasn't. I don't think he was shot. He was beat, and then he died 3 days later at the hospital.
Okay, so he was in the custody of cops, and
that's just it. I was reading. I still don't know. I'm still trying to see. Okay, they had pulled him over for reckless driving. There was five black cops. This one black young man, they said he was recklessly driving, and he wasn't that far from home. But as I was reading the information from NPR and CNN, it's like there's other ways to tame a lion instead of just beating him. And it says also unclear, he wasn't shot; he was just beat and pepper sprayed. He wasn't even handcuffed. That's what's so bad, you know. And it says, we've looked at cameras, we've looked at body-worn cameras. Even if something occurred prior to the stop, we're unable to substantiate that at this time. And so they still don't know why. He didn't have drugs. He didn't pull out anything on him. Doesn't sound like. It's just like, you know, they had a beef on, you know, on the young man for whatever reason, and they were called the Scorpion Unit. And what Scorpion stands for is Street Crime Operations to Restore Peace in Neighborhoods. Okay, someone's driving reckless. They're not being unpeaceful. Just say, hey, could you not, you know, drive recklessly? But no, they yanked him out, you know, and put him on the ground, beat him. Then he got up and ran. And I believe they tased them and they pepper sprayed them. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm reading, it seems like. So what the heck did he do to warrant this death? And they've been looking at cameras all over town, you know, following his, you know, his movement and everything throughout town, and still to this day. Wow. And even then, the medical team, the fire department came through, and they didn't render any aid. They didn't try to help him. None. And so I think two of them were relieved from the fire department because they didn't try to help him or anything. Because there was another altercation at a nearby location at which the serious injuries were experienced by Mr. Nichols.
I'm getting the bad volume from you again. You sound low, plus I'm hearing your cord. and it sounds like you've got like you're in a car, but I know you're not in a car. It's just must be the cord. Anyway, you've got a bad connection.
Hold on, I'm gonna try this again. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm gonna try this. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Okay. I just have you on speaker, so that's what we
got. Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
I tried to plug my phone into or my headset into directly into the system, but this is on Sunday. But it seems every 3 seconds. Now you're making noise.
Hello?
Every 3 seconds, it was just. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Every 3 seconds, it would just kind of like blink out, and it just wasn't good. I was going to try it again tonight, thinking it may have been the phone. So after I took it off of the out of the system and put my headset on, they said it was fine. And I don't know what happened the other day to you. I think you fell asleep on me.
Yeah, I did. I think I did anyway. Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
That's the second time I fell asleep. Well, that's what happens. I have to explain this to people. When I'm on a show, when I'm on a show for about 2 hours or so, and I know I'm going to be on a long show, I'm in bed and I'm relaxed.
Okay.
So when I don't talk for a while and I'm listening, I'm relaxed, and I eventually, at times, just go to sleep. I'm going to sleep on about, I don't know, 4 or 5 different programs.
Eh. Oh, you're fine. You're fine. And that's fine because then I just put you on mute, and then you eventually hung up because, like I said, Joe, and you didn't answer back, so I just put you on.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Put you on.
I mean, I think I was out for about a half an hour or so, and then I was muted, which you should have done, unless you want to hear me snore.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard myself snore.
And
you have not heard a snore until I snore.
I heard you snore.
Oh. You've heard me snore? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
It's like, I said, Joe, you were gone. You were gone. But that's okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's because I'm relaxed. I'm in bed now because you've got a 2 to 3 hour show. I'm not going to sit in the chair with a headset, pressed up against my ear. So I have my earbuds in, and I'm lying down, and I'm comfortable. And, I just go off to sleep. I don't know. There's nothing, there's no predicting it. I just do it. Like, I've been on your show, I don't know, maybe 2 dozen times I haven't gone to sleep, but that
You've been on my show more than 2 dozen. Oh my gosh, you've been on my show probably almost all of last year, at least on the Tuesday Thursday shows. You've been on
that's a lot of
my
shows.
Yes, I can because I write when people call in. I write down the name and number next to it, so I know who you are when you call in.
Okay.
So
I've been on your show a number of times. I haven't gone to sleep. Last time I was,
you've been good.
I was tired.
Yeah, you were relaxed, very relaxed. But that's okay. That's okay. That just frustrates me. No, I'm just messing. I'm just messing. But no, we were talking about Tyree Nichols. He, just like George Floyd, he even called for his mom. He says, and this was Mulroy, who is the district attorney for Shelby County over in Memphis. He said, I heard him call out for his mother, for his mom, or Davis said, referring to the video. And just the disregard for humanity, that's what really pulls at your heartstrings and makes you wonder, why was a sense of care and concern for this individual just absent from the situation by all who went to the scene? I mean, it's just like disregard. They didn't care. They did not care. They could care less. You know, another one bites
the
dust.
Well, the fire department's not going to interfere with the police department. They're going to say the police has jurisdiction, and they're going to leave them alone.
Correct, correct. But it was saying, let me see. Let me go back to this other article from the NPR, because they go into a little bit more detail. Let me see, NPR. They said that, excuse me, they said that, one moment, please.
I'm going to go to sleep.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to go to sleep.
Okay.
All the blows to the head were the application of deadly force, and this is what one of the what Stinson, and Stinson is a let's see, Stinson is Philip Stinson. No, you're not.
Oh,
he's a criminal defense professor.
I'm getting myself very relaxed right now. While you're doing your research,
I'm saying Philip Stinson is a criminal justice professor at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. And he described the initial traffic stop as highly unusual for a variety of reasons. And he says it was not a normal traffic stop. They were not in marked vehicles. They were not wearing normal police uniforms. And they pulled him out of the car. They got him down on the ground and pepper sprayed him. So, you know, that's just like not even, you know, it's like, why? He just was trying to get home. And it was only a few blocks from the house. And said they didn't even really seem to have an interest in getting him handcuffed. And they seem to have an interest in giving him a beating. So that's just crazy. That's just really crazy. It says other police officers should have intervened, but they did not. And it says earlier this week, two Memphis Fire Department employees who were involved in the initial patient care of Nichols were also relieved of duty pending internal investigation. So they could have done something. No, but it says Stinson noted that officers have a duty to render medical aid, but the footage showed very little medical support from medical personnel or officers. It took more than 20 minutes for an ambulance to arrive. So, you know, that's just crazy. But still, I still don't know why he was. Why he was even arrested for reckless driving? Really? Really?
Well, I don't know anything about
the
case other than
Oh, okay.
Other than
okay.
What you've already read, and I read something like that like a few days ago. So, and okay. So I don't know why. And so we're going to have to find out.
Yes. Well, the question is, will we find out? You know, maybe at the trial, maybe. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
there'll be reports in the news prior to the trial.
Yeah. Right. There will be investigation. So the next thing I want to talk about is all these mass shootings. Oof. There have been at least 50 mass shootings in 2023 already in schools, streets, and public places. That's just ridiculous.
Well, you're going to have that. That's going to be an increase in that because the Attorney General and various states have raised the felony limit. They've taken away cash bail. So they're actually making crime, no consequence. So people who are career criminals who see that there's no consequence to their actions, they're going to create and commit more crimes. Just as simple as that.
So what about the 6-year-old who got the gun and shot his teacher?
Oh, that could be as a result. I don't know. I've read about it very briefly, but that could be as a result of the kid being abused at home because hurt people hurt people. So he, you know, he could very well be abused by his father or his mother or both, and thereby making him, you know, a very angry child. So if you're a very angry child, a very insecure child, and you see a teacher as somebody who's always trying to put you down, I'm presuming this is what happens, trying to put you down in front of the class, and you've got anger issues as a result of your mother and your father, well, you're going to take it on the teacher. That's an especially heinous event because you really don't want kids to have anger issues at that early an age. So for him to do that, that shows that hurt people hurt people, and I would investigate the mother and the father right away.
Yeah. But the thing is, other people knew that he had the gun, but they didn't do anything about it. That's the crazy part.
Who knew he had the gun?
It says, this should never have happened. It was preventable, and thank God Abby is alive. But had the school administration acted in the interest of their teachers and their students, Abby would not have sustained a gunshot wound to her chest. Okay, because what had happened was, okay, Toscano, Toscano, whoever, I have to go back and see who that is, revealed new details about the events leading up to the shooting, alleging that school administration was warned that the student had a gun with him at the school and had threatened people several times the day of the shooting, but school administration took no action. Toscano also alleged that the administration was warned four times by teachers and school employees about the student. There were three warnings from school employees about the gun and a warning from Zwerner, the teacher, about the student threatening to harm another child. This is crazy. So they knew. It's not like they didn't know. So I think the principal or somebody was removed because they knew. They knew way in advance. I mean, they had too many warnings, but yet nobody did anything. It was around 11:30. Zwerner went to school and went to a school administrator and told them that a 6-year-old had threatened to beat up another child that day. The administration did not take action or remove the student from the classroom, according to Toscano. At 12:30, a teacher had told the student administrator that she searched the 6-year-old's backpack for a gun and told the administration that she believed the boy put the gun in his pocket before going outside for recess. The administrator downplayed the report and responded that the boy has little pockets, according to Toscano. Shortly after 1 p.m., a third teacher told administrators that another student who was scared and crying confessed that the shooter showed him a gun at recess and threatened to shoot him if he told anyone, according to Toscano. A fourth employee asked the administrator for permission to search the boy but was denied and was told to wait the situation out because the school day was almost over. Zwerner was shot almost an hour later, according to Toscano. So she's now at home recovering. So they had plenty of warning. Plenty of warning.
Yeah.
And see, so it's not like nobody knew. You know, so she, as the teacher, tried to protect the kids. And if she hadn't protected the kids, no telling what would have happened. But how did he get the gun is the question. That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I, you know. Ooh-wee. You know, that's what I mean, then all these other shootings.
Yeah, because I would like to find out myself if the gun was in the house. If not, then it raises an even more important question. If that gun was not belonging to the parents, then how did he get an illegal gun? Who would sell guns to kids, and how did he get a contact like that, if that's what happened?
I mean, he's 6 years old. That's what I'm saying. He's 6 years old. That's what, first grade, kindergarten?
Yeah.
Let's see. Police was said responding officers, school employee physically restraining the six-year-old suspect in the classroom. The boy allegedly hit the school employee before officers took him into custody. He was subsequently taken to a local hospital for evaluation. He had it in his backpack. So he got it from the house. So, that's, you know, how did he even know where it was? Is for one question. It's supposed to be under lock and key is another thing. So that's crazy. That is just so crazy.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, then we have to find out. Was it under lock and key? Did he get it from his parents? Did it belong to his parents? Or did he get it from the, you know, from the underground? Did he get it from the street thug? Because the kid sounds like either he's being abused or he's a bad seed. But in any case, the kid has hostile intentions. He has anger issues. As a result, he could have been very, you know, he could have had contacts with other kids in the street, and those streets, and those kids could have hooked him up with, you know, with a dealer.
No, it says the 9mm Taurus pistol used in the shooting was legally purchased by the boy's mother, according to police.
Oh, now we know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, oof. But then, like you said earlier, you know, it's just coming down to craziness. That's what it is. And they can't really relay much information.
Yeah.
Well,
it's coming down to politics making it even easier for criminals to become easier. If you have hardly any consequences for doing actions which deserve consequences, you are going to continue to do actions and get no repercussions from it. Just as simple as that. Why do you think all these stores are putting all their wares inside their stores under glass? Because the district attorneys and attorneys generals in these states, they have said, you know, the felony is no longer $100. It's $950. So people are walking. They're riding their bikes into stores, robbing them in front of security guards, and riding back out the store again.
Right, because you're only supposed to observe and report.
That.
I know.
Yeah.
It says here, the unnamed family of the boy released a statement last week saying that the firearm our son accessed was secured and that he suffers from an acute disability and was under a care plan at the school that included his mother or father attending school with him and accompanying him to class every day. Okay. We'll see how that went. It says, the week of the shooting was the first week when we were not in class with him. We will regret our absence on this day for the rest of our lives, the family said. Since this incident, our son has been under hospital care and receiving the treatment he needs. So, you know, that's sad, you know, because I didn't know all that. I, you know, and I've been missing some of the news as well. But now that I've read this report from ABC News, .com, you know, it makes sense. But still, you know, how did he know how to get a secured gun, a secured weapon?
You all can join the house. The mother or the father locked up, or didn't lock up the gun, and he went and took it. I mean, to me, it's not a mystery. If the gun's in the house, and if the gun isn't locked, then the kid who has anger issues just goes to, and gets it. Simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but no, it was secured, so they said. And he just, you know.
Yeah,
he
they said, but then that means then where does the kid get the key to open up the lock that secures the gun?
Hmm. He's a cute little kid. He does look like something's wrong with him. I'm looking at it. I'm not.
He does. Does he have red
it's
hair?
Interesting. Ha ha ha! No. What if I said he was bald?
I like to tease you. I like to tease you.
I know. I know. So, gun violence, of course, is on the rise, as we know. Is there anything that that person can
so
do?
What do you think is the reason? Do you think there's a more prevalent reason than what I've stated?
Mental health, for one thing. I don't know what else could, you know, I don't know. I mean, people are trying to protect themselves. It's almost like a purge. You know, it's like, to me, you've seen the movie Purge?
I didn't see it, but I know of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think are the causes of the mental health issues? What's creating the you know, because a lot of people are talking about that now on Block Talk Radio in particular. Mental health issues. You know, everything is mental health issues. Well, everything is a mental health issue. People are frustrated that people aren't getting what they want. But my question is, what is a mental health issue? Is it because you're depressed, you're feeling bad, or do you have to have a certain level of neurosis in order for you to have a mental health issue? So just because you're unhappy in your marriage doesn't mean you have a mental health issue. Just because you're unhappy on your job doesn't mean you have a mental health issue. Just because some people are dateless, can't get a girl, can't get a guy, doesn't mean you have a mental health issue. So what is a mental health issue? That's what I want to know.
Mental health, mental illness is kind of like the same. Okay, this is the mental illness symptoms and causes from the Mayo Clinic, www.mayoclinic.org. Come on, system. You can do this. Okay, it's symptoms and illnesses. An overview. Mental illness, also called mental health disorders, refers to a wide range of mental health conditions, disorders that affect your mood, thinking, and behavior. Examples of mental illness include depression, anxiety disorders, schizophrenia, eating disorders, and addictive behaviors. Many people have mental health concerns from time to time, but a mental health concern becomes a mental health illness when ongoing signs of symptoms cause frequent stress and affect your ability to function. A mental illness can make you miserable and can cause problems in your daily life, such as at school or at work or in relationships. In most cases, symptoms can be managed with a combination of medication and talk therapy or psychotherapy. So anything that's not normal or unusual could be considered mental health. Ooh, they got this nice list. Okay. Examples of signs and symptoms include feeling saddened or down, confused thinking or reduced ability to concentrate, excessive fears or worries, or extreme feelings of guilt, extreme mood changes or highs and lows, withdrawals from friends and activities, significant tiredness, low energy or problems sleeping, detachment from reality, delusions, or paranoia or hallucinations, inability to cope with daily problems or stress, trouble understanding and relating to situations and to people, problems with alcohol or drug use, major changes in eating habits, sex drive changes, excessive anger, hostility or violence, and suicidal thinking. So
Ooh. That's, you know, wow. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, aren't on their medicines or can't get medicines like they used to be able to get because it's been so highly priced out. So, you know, when you don't go without your meds, because I have a friend who is not able to get her medicines for whatever reason. And so, you know, that changes her her demeanor. That changes, you know, how she was being cared for through her medicine. And once it gets out your system, what happens? You tell me, Joe, what happens once it gets out your system?
With regards to what?
When you're you have a mental health issue and you're on medicine for your anxiety, depression, or what have you, and then when you don't have your medicine and it's not in your system anymore, you know, helping you to calm down, helping you to relax, what does it do? Your system gets
all out of whack, right? Well, you know, you get out of control. Mm-hmm. And you do, mm-hmm. you follow your natural impulses, which are to be hostile and aggressive. And maybe the kid had something wrong neurologically or chemically with his system. Who knows?
And that's probably part of the investigation as well. You know.
Yeah.
Like I said, usually one of the parents usually attends class with them, but they didn't that day. And he just happened to
The kids had problems. You got to have your parent in with you. Holy jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the kids got problems. It could be a demon seed, but who knows?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You know, then we have to blame the parents. I blame the parents anyway. I always blame the parents.
Oh, you do you?
Always.
Okay, so
if a mother
so
and a father
so what?
Bring their own child into this world, that is their major responsibility. They have to sacrifice for that child. They have to teach that child right from wrong. They have to protect that child, make that child feel safe and important and loved. When you do that, especially when the child is very young, that if you take care of your children are going to take care of you. But there are many people out here, probably millions, who have
mm-hmm.
children and who do not, who should not have them. They don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah. Because the children could be, you know, disturbed or what have you, or be depressed or anxious or what have you. But,
Well, let's assume you're not a demon seed, right? Let's assume you're a natural child with a normal biological and neurological complex.
Mm-hmm.
If you have good mothers and fathers, you can go to your mother and father about anything. They will sit down with you, talk with you. They'll discipline you. They should mm-hmm. discipline you. But they'll discipline you with love, and they'll let you know that it is with love. So that the child doesn't feel that he's always being unfairly pointed out and picked just to get a beating, let's say. So if you make a child feel happy and safe, then that child's going to love you forever.
Right. Yeah. But then, like, sometimes there may be a chemical imbalance as well, that you may think you have a normal child, and, you know, because we talked about this in relationships, you know, you're normal and all of a sudden, you know, something gets out of kilter, and next thing you know, your spouse is a whole different person, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. and so it's like, you know, what happened was, and sometimes it could even be in the food that we eat that can cause us a chemical imbalance as well that we don't think about or know about.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. When you finish talking, I want to ask you a question.
No, we're good. You can go ahead and ask.
Do you eat Hellman's mayonnaise?
Hellman's. Usually it's, sometimes I do, but a lot of times it's Best Foods or a lot of times it's Best Foods, I think. Why?
Oh, because I've noticed that there's a difference in the taste. Now, I've been eating Hellman's mm-hmm. mayonnaise for like 50 years, and there's a difference uh-huh. in the taste now. And I've bought two different bottles, two different jars from two different places, and they uh-huh. don't taste like Hellman's. So I'm wondering if my taste buds are changing or if they've changed their recipe. So I wanted to find. Huh?
It very well could be your taste buds changing because I know, you know, as some of us get older, we get allergies and types of things like that. So that very well could be the case with you. It could be, you know, your taste buds changed and it's like some people may have liked something a long time ago and now it's like, oh my gosh, this is just, ooh, you know, depending on maybe who cooks it or how it's cooked or what have you. But a lot of things changed. My brother and his wife, they had the, what's it called, test, the allergy test. And my brother was allergic to so much stuff. Anything gluten. Everything has to be gluten-free. He can't have tequila because of something. He can't have, like, tacos unless it's maybe a fish taco because of something else. But, you know, all the little good things that they put on a taco, he can't even have that anymore. So it's like, okay. And all the things he used to love, he was allergic to. And I could tell when he's so funny. When we were taking care of my dad when he had cancer, my brother would eat. I said, okay, what did you eat? He said, why? I said, your forehead is breaking out. So anytime he would eat stuff that he's not supposed to eat, his forehead would break out, and then he'd have to take a Benadryl. So, but you know, when you love something and you want to have that taste, it's like, okay, do I do this or do I do that? And do I pay the consequences? So as we get older, that's a good thing to do if you can afford the test, because I think the test was like $400, something like that, to take the allergy test.
Oh, well, I really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are able to afford things like that. Not all of us are. Not all of us
I
are.
Would,
but
even
yeah,
if
they
I
did.
Could afford it, I wouldn't pay $400 just to get a test.
But sometimes it may be good because, I mean, it could be detrimental to your health if you don't know what you're allergic to and you eat it and then, you know, you have a reaction. And so that's what was happening.
Oh, yeah, I don't have those problems, though. I don't have allergies. I don't have food allergies.
You don't, but then you say that the Hellman's mayonnaise, you know, something in the mayonnaise may be like you say, your taste buds may be off. So, you know, either try a different mayonnaise and see if that tastes funny or funky, or ask, you know, I was going to say you can ask another person who likes Hellman. But, I mean, I don't, how do I say it? I just eat mayonnaise, so I don't really care.
I can tell the difference.
You know, so
the ones who
Like it's Best Foods or Hellman's, I think. What's the other one? I think Kraft mayonnaise, but
yeah, and there's another one too. And I don't like you. I don't like anyone except for Hellman's.
Yeah, I don't like Duke's. I mean, I've not had Duke's, so I couldn't even say if I like Duke's or not. But and I'm not a Miracle Whip person.
Yeah, that's the other one. I don't like that.
But Miracle Whip is good depending on what it's in, and I don't know that it's in it, and I like something. That's the funky thing. That's funny. But, I mean, Miracle Whip, I don't know why, because I don't think mayonnaise should be sweet. And Miracle Whip
I don't like the other mayonnaise. I don't like Hellman's. Hellman's is the only one for me. I've been eating that for over 50 years. So,
I think ours was Hellman's as well. Hellman's or Best Foods, one of the two. Either Hellman's or Best Foods. Either those. Those are the ones we would choose from or we would get.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, nothing else. No other food stuff tastes different. So I'm thinking, it could be my taste buds. Yeah. Or it could be the hell has changed the recipe. I hope not.
I mean, why are you going to change something that's been so good after what, 40, probably longer than that?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Because maybe of the food shortages, that they may have to change the way, the way they combine their ingredients, because maybe some of the ingredients have cost either a lot or they can't get some of the ingredients that they need. And you would think that the ingredients would be plentiful. You know, I mean, because all it is just eggs and or egg whites. It's maybe a little bit of sugar. I'm not sure. Vinegar, I believe, and there's salt, pepper, vinegar, I believe, egg whites, and maybe something else. But who knows why? Could be just my taste buds. The only thing that I know I'm allergic to are talk show hosts on Tuesday nights.
Okay, then just don't be involved in those talk shows.
You're right. I rarely do. Like, as a matter
of fact. Gotcha.
No, I made a good comeback. You didn't get me. I made a good comeback.
What? What did you get? What did you come back and say?
And I said I usually do. And I was going to say, well, for those shows that I'm allergic to, I just go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah. Got you.
And then the host usually hangs up on you or puts you on mute. But this is what
you mean the host wants to hang up on me. Desperately wants to hang up on me. She wants to say,
Joe, I wouldn't hang up
I got
on
you,
me.
Joe.
No.
Oh,
I got you, Joe.
Boy.
No. But
I know that's what you want to say. I got you, Joe. Joe, where are you? Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I just clicked the wrong button.
Did I do that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It says, okay, it says, for over 100 years, condiment staple Hellmann's mayonnaise has been in the existence until now. On January 30th, 2023, that was yesterday, a now deleted Facebook post from the company began to spark panic on the internet. The post alleged that the company was discontinuing Hellmann's until further notice due to high inflation and import costs.
See?
So, but it's not
I
really,
was onto something.
But it's only in South Africa that is being discontinued.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You are not in South Africa, so, yeah.
You don't know where I am.
I know you're in Montana, Joe.
Oh, really? Okay, if you say so. Who told
That's
you that?
You told me. You did.
Me? No.
Yes.
Not me.
When we first started. Mm-hmm.
No, when we first started, yes. I said, hello, I'm from South Africa. That's what I said.
Joe, I have you as Montana Joe versus, who's it, North Carolina Joe. So you didn't tell me any difference. So now hush. And it says, their statement on January 31st, that's for today, 2023 reads, it's hard to say goodbye to delicious Hellmann's mayonnaise, but due to a high inflationary import cost, we will regretfully be discontinuing Hellmann's in South Africa until further notice. A big thanks to our loyal fans for all the mayo love over the years.
Well, it could happen there. It might happen here. But, you know, we are facing a food shortage problem. We're facing a potential nitrogen shortage, potash shortage. All of these ingredients they're necessary to grow crops and to, provide food for the nations. So, that's coming down the pipe.
Frustrated about that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's true, then of course. I mean, we may have food shortages here. Where there's gas rationing in California, I hear, and I think there's food rationing in Germany, in some places. So, it can't happen here. Just because this is America doesn't mean it can't happen here. We have so much corruption in America. Everything can happen here.
True. So where in America is there a food shortage? I'm surprised your buddy hasn't called in. Your buddy, Solution, hasn't called in if he's listening in the background. Our food shortage.
When you said, "Can I do that?" That's the first thing that came to mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I do that? It says,
"You're right, Urkel." That's the first thing that came to mind. Was him.
Oh my goodness. It says, according to many reports, the current situation with food supplies is, in fact, already dire. The WFP, which I don't know what that means, predicts that by 2023, there will be a shortage of, as you said, wheat and corn, which are two staple products in the food chain. Yep. And
plus,
it says, from Valley,
talking about how bees are dying off. Bees pollinate. So if there's a significant shortage of bees, then we're going to have another reason why we're going to have food shortages.
Well, all I know is get your tuna, get your mayonnaise, get your pickles, so you can at least have tuna salad. You can have egg salad. Well, eggs is, you don't have to have eggs as long as you've got mayonnaise, I suppose.
I'm going to have to get... I forget what they what do they call it? Where you can have an indoor garden. Hydroponic, I think it is.
Oh.
Huh?
Okay. I would say a terrarium, but
I was thinking about doing that months ago and I forgot all about it.
Oh, you might want to start, then I can come to your house and get some vegetables.
I'll charge it too. Vegetables, they're going to be very much in demand.
But either that or you can get some of the MREs too.
What are those?
You weren't in the service?
Yeah, I was.
Those MREs are
rationing. I never had
that.
That was in the Air Force. We never had to have that.
Oh, yes. My dad was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
so we
did. And
he
had
to bring his MREs home. Excuse me?
MREs. Yeah, MREs, what are they?
Meals ready to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if you're in a war zone. I wasn't in a war zone. Oh, lucky.
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's see, Dad would bring them home even when he wasn't in a But he would bring them home, and we'd eat some crackers or something in there. I think corn hash or was it hash? What is it? Hash or something? And it's corn hash, I think, or something like beef hash or something. I just like the crackers that were in there. That's like crackers and cheese. That's all I like, because that cheese in there is going to be processed for sure.
I wouldn't eat. Yeah, that's processed cheese, like Cheese Whiz. I don't eat that stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is, as a matter of fact, I saw on Instagram, somebody had lit cheese. They had lit the one that wasn't processed and the one that was processed. The one that was processed continued to burn. The other one just melted. It's like, wow. It's just like, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you have to take a look at the way that the food is prepared in this country. There have been a couple of instances where people have had, I think, Twinkies, lost them, found them a year later, and the Twinkies still feel soft and fresh. That's because of the additives.
Yeah.
Or a McDonald's cheeseburger. Somebody lost a McDonald's cheeseburger, found it a year later. And it still, I don't know about taste, but it still felt as though, They just brought it home from the
cow. You can eat it. Mm-hmm. I heard about
that one.
I
eat it after a year, but you know, but that's the way it seems.
Right, right. Mm-mm-mm. It says food shortages are unavoidable in 2022. We have had a severe food shortage here in the United States. The food shortage was due to a series of unfortunate events that stripped our country of its necessary resources, and now Russo-Ukrainian war is threatening to cause the food shortages in 2023. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all just get,
yeah.
Y'all listen. Get your bottle of water. Get your distilled water. Get your purified water, whatever you need. Stack up, stock up, whatever. So you're, because your neighbors are coming out.
I've got a 30-day supply of food. I bought that. You know,
okay.
The food that can last for 25 years, I've got that in my kitchen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only a 30-day supply, though. It's it costs enough for 30 days. But I'm going to have to get a hydroponics system.
Okay, so does that need water?
Yeah, it needs water and a container, and you have an indoor garden, in essence. So
right, but if you run out of water, though, Joe, then what happened?
Well, yeah, well, I'm hoping that, you know, I will have enough water. I guess, you know, save the rainwater.
And with global warming, what if it doesn't rain?
Oh, I'm not concerned about global warming. That's another myth. Global warming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Climate change.
You really don't think that there's anything global warming?
No.
So you don't believe there's like holes in the atmosphere or whatever that is in the
Well, they're man-made, but the global warming scientists have already said that the warnings about this global warming isn't going to happen. They've said that it would take a lot to change the temperature in the atmosphere and in the environment, and it's not happening. So I think something like, was it 150 scientists or 70 scientists signed a letter attesting to that, trying to let people know that this garbage that the government is perpetrating upon us again is nonsense.
Mm. So you don't believe that there's a change in the global surface at all, the temperature?
No.
Okay.
I know you listen to CNN and BBC and all of that.
No.
I mean, you get your mainstream. What?
No, I'm just looking at it. It says, you know, global warming versus climate change, and this is from, of course, climate.nasa.gov.
The
government
NASA
is always going to feed you with boo-boo stuff. It says climate change.
I don't believe anything
warming,
the government tells me. You tell me what the government has said in the last 200 years of any significant matter that has actually been true.
Can't answer that. So you don't think that nothing's going to happen? I mean, with these earthquakes and all these other things that are going on, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes and
We've always had them. You know, if you take a look at the predictions of Al Gore back in 2006, something like that, with the then convenient truth that the polar bears are going to die, Antarctica or the Arctic, they were going to have meltdowns and cities were going to be covered over with water. None of his predictions have come true, and he's doubling down on it. He's still talking about climate change. Oh, God, these people.
Oh, Okay, so you don't believe in any of that. So, okay. Okay, because so the world is not shrinking, right? We're not going to just be reduced to dust and one little low speck of dust.
Well, that could happen over a billion years. I mean, the natural evolution of a planet, you know, possibly, but the global climate alarm that we're going, either we have to solve it now or in 10 years we're extinct. Mm-hmm. Like AOC is charged and some of the leftists have charged. No.
So with all the water and everything, you know, stuff drying up, you don't think that, you know, well, with the evaporation,
well,
that's almost, that's normal.
Like in California or in one other state, that experts have said were man-made as a result of the incompetence of the government. The government didn't pay enough attention or perhaps even made mistakes with regards to water preservation. And as a result of some of these areas, they're having drought, but it's caused by, you know, by the government. So once again, our favorite government is messing with us.
Okay. And that's his story, people, and he's sticking to it.
Yes, I am.
NASA. What is,
hey, where
is NASA,
where,
really?
Where is Eddie and Kiki and, not Kiki, but Key and B and Reverend Ron? Hey, where's the rest of the gang?
With Key, she said, you know, from the incidents that had happened, she probably won't come back.
What incidents? Have I been on her nerve? Did I get on her nerve?
No, not you.
No.
Not you at all. Because I think you were on the phone when that situation happened between I believe her and Solution.
Well, I mean, look, Solution can be aggravating to women. I have nothing against what he says or even how he says it most of the time. But I do remember that the last time he was on the show, he started off with a statement like, you know, in a way, and the way that he said it was, he was kind of acerbic, maybe trying to, I don't know, I think he likes drama. I think he actually likes it. I think he likes to attract it. And he has the same views I do. But the thing is, I don't get the same kind of reactions as he does. I get them at times at the very beginning when I'm, you know, when people are talking to me, they don't believe that the attitudes that I have are the ones that I have. But eventually, people just get over it. But I do think he actually likes to commandeer a show, and he likes to try. He loves drama. He's been doing this for years. Oh, geez. But again, his particular viewpoints, I agree with. I mean, I don't find anything wrong with what he says, just the way that he says it in such a way that it seems to me that he does it as a means of trying to get a rise out of them. But at the same time, the women shouldn't back down. If they don't like what somebody says, then put them on the carpet and say, prove what you've got to say, you know, instead of just saying, well, you're wrong. If he's wrong, show that he's wrong. You know, otherwise, sit back and listen. Now, I tend to agree that his attitude, if I were a girl, I wouldn't like it a lot of the times. But again, if I were a woman, I would just say, excuse me, where do you get your information from, or why do you feel this way? But for a woman is to come out and say, you know, you're a misogynist. You're wrong. That's not the way you approach somebody who has an opposing point of view. Now,
it was not the point that he was. But I think he was, the way he talked to somebody was not very kind. And I said, you should apologize. He said he wasn't going to. So I was like, okay.
I think you should. He said bellicose and stuff like that. Then the women should come back and say, what am I bellicose about?
what is it about what I've said that upsets you? And if he says, well, I think you're attacking me, and then, you know, you can have an intellectual discussion with somebody unless
right.
they refuse to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, he and I have had, well, the main reason why I've had battles with him is because on other shows, he would just talk and talk and talk and talk. And then when you try to interrupt him, he says, let me finish my point. He hasn't done that on your show. He's actually been pretty good on your show, and I don't know why.
He hasn't.
I mean, if he got out of line, you would tell him. But he hasn't. Mm-hmm. He hasn't gotten out of line the way that he has on other shows. On other shows, I mean, he would just talk, and then that's why I got into battles with him, because he never shut the F up. And then when you say to him, you know what, there are other people here who want to, you know, talk to, well, you know, I got to finish my point, and stuff like that. But I never had an issue with whatever he said, because what he said makes sense from my own personal experience and from what I've read and talking to men and women for over 20 years. It's just that I think he loves drama. Huh?
20 years you've known him?
No. I said talking to other men and women for over 20 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that part. Okay. Mm.
Well, you got a bad connection.
No, I know you were talking, but I just didn't hear what you were saying because I think I was talking at the same time. So I'm sorry. But no, I think I was talking over you. But no, I mean, he's very intellectual, you know, very intellectual. And, you know, he has a lot to say.
Yeah. He has a point of view, which he presents.
Mm-hmm.
And
forcefully.
And it irritates women in particular. And it can get men up, you know, it can get the men in the white hats and on the white horses who want to become, you know, the knights in the shining armor. You can get them upset. But, whatever he says, you know, I know other people who have the same point of view, the same point of view I do, but we present it in a way that even though it does upset people at the beginning, over time, the personalities that we have do not irritate people for the most part.
Okay.
So, you know, because people I know, you know, I hopefully... But they don't love drama. It's just that, you know, the same thing all the time with them. It's always, you know, women are wrong, and women are the cause of the problems. And not that I disagree with him most of the time, but he doesn't have to, you know, come, and, no matter what the topic is. It's always about, well, this is the way women are, and if you know that, the women as a result of inflation and as a result of feminism and how they have this opinion with men. Not always about men versus women. It's about the topic of the show. It can be about politics. It can be about something related to relationships. But it's the same old theme, and I get tired of hearing it, even though I agree with them. I just get tired of hearing it.
Okay. And, you know, Sarge was on the line that one time. Was he on? No, you were on the line with Sarge, but Solution wasn't on the line, I think. Correct?
Sarge as a favor to him. This isn't Sarge's wheelhouse. Sarge is a political, for all practical purposes, a political historian. And he loves to do research on politics and history, in particular military. And anybody that you're going to listen to about that particular topic, it's him. He knows how to do research. He knows how to analyze. He goes down to the root cause of an issue. So he's very interesting. His mind process. I like his mind process.
He is.
The relationships is not his wheelhouse, so he probably won't be.
I mean, but our shows are more than just relationships. I mean, because a relationship is between two people or a person and an animal or whatever, but, you know,
if you have political shows, he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
He might be back. I introduced him to my show. It was a show I used to go to on Saturdays. And he was there. He was there for the whole 3 hours, 4 hours. He's never come back. I don't know what his criteria is for selecting shows, but he's an interesting guy. You know, he knows what he's talking about. Maybe because I'm biased, because I believe in the same things he does. But I do like his process. I do like his way of trying to get to the nitty-gritty of something. You know, if you're going to talk about a subject, especially a subject that needs to be identified clearly, he will go to the root cause, the documents, the history and the source behind the documents in order to present a point of view. And the point of view, thank God, he's one of the very few who can present a point of view in a very succinct, logical, plausible way, so that you don't have to hear somebody drone on and on and on. He just gets punked. God, I hate it when people just drone on and on and on about the same thing. You know, I mean, get to the point. I mean, even if you want to say anything interesting, just get to the freaking point. Unless you're telling a story.
Well, one
thing
he's not was boring, that's for sure. One thing he was not was boring.
Oh, Sarge?
He's
only going to be boring to people who don't like what he's talking about. But in terms of his mind process, some people may not like it because I don't think they realize that simplicity is best. If you can boil down the major issue into that certain chemical cauldron of the relevant ingredients, and you can express it in 5 minutes, what takes the normal person 30 minutes to say, I say, thank you, thank you.
He gets the analysis, he gets right to the point. That's good.
That's it. You know, and I mean, it's an analysis based upon very well done research, which any competent, good, intelligent high school kid or good, intelligent college student who writes essays should do. So that pisses me off when people who have a point of view, you know, and have gone to college, who don't know how to present themselves.
Okay.
I've told people, I've been the host of shows, co-hosts. I only want people to talk about what they're talking about for no more than 3 minutes. Get to the point of agreement.
Okay.
That's it. And then afterwards, you know, I'll let other people take their turn and then come back to you, present your viewpoint.
Right.
And if you cannot talk about a subject and give the most relevant gist in less than 3 minutes, you need to take elocution lessons.
Talk
show hosts, talk shows are meant for people to talk, so people will take advantage of them if you let them. They will talk.
Right.
I was on,
right.
on one. There was one show that allows you to talk for 8 minutes at a time, and everybody takes advantage of it. 8 minutes at a time. You know how, if you have four people on the show, you've got to wait 24 minutes before it's your turn. And then after your turn is up, you got to wait another 24 minutes before it's your turn again.
Okay.
That's 20. Who the hell wants to wait 24 minutes, to talk and wait every 24 minutes? I like the kind of shows where people can go back and forth, but they know how to yield. They know how to relent.
Right. And that's how Eddie was. He knows how to, I yield. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah.
And you do too.
And
you too, on TV.
Yeah, and myself, I don't like to talk for longer than 2 minutes or 3 minutes max about any particular topic or issue or anything of interest at the, which I'm speaking about at the time. I like to be brief. I like to let other people talk.
Okay.
I like to be brief. I can go back and forth with you, but when I talk about an issue,
right,
you know,
right, because
like
we do converse. You and I, we converse. So,
And I like that
we do
B
converse.
Key was here, and B was here. B was very short with what she said. She took the appropriate amount of time when she was talking about something. She never spoke longer than about 2 to 3 minutes, which was, to me, cool. B was even shorter.
And she got to the point.
Yeah, she got to the point. You know, when she told the story, she told the story interesting and in an interesting way, and 2 or 3 minutes, and she was up, you know. So, again, just because Solution, you know, was pissing them off because she had a different point of view and he had the assertive kind of personality, they should have challenged him. They shouldn't have run away.
It wasn't so much as the runaway. He was actually rather rude to me, you know, to me.
Oh, I mean, maybe I wasn't.
You
on
know,
the,
and
on
that
the
and that's how that's what Eddie thought as well. Excuse me.
Oh yeah, I said maybe I wasn't on the shows as well. I know he has the type of personality which can aggravate you. I don't see him being, you know, when he said to like B or to a P, you know. You're being bellicose. Well, they were. He said something. He said it in a tone of voice, which was, of course, sounded misogynistic. But they came back at him like there are misandries. There are women who hate men. They came back at him like, oh, how dare you have that point of view, you know. but they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have, had that tone of voice with him, and they shouldn't have accused him of whatever they accused him of with regards to misogyny. So they should have just challenged him. You know, and then see now as
a
result, they're gone.
Words,
he's going to keep coming back here. So they didn't hurt him. They hurt themselves. They didn't get anything clarified.
Hmm.
You know.
Interesting.
They could have had an intellectual discussion with them as long as they kept them on the right track, as long as you kept them on the right track. You know,
I try.
You got to rein people in. They can't keep talking on and on. And I don't, he hasn't done that on the show that I've seen. Like, you should have seen him on other shows.
No, because I probably would have put him on mute. He would have. You know, I would.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I mean, like, if it's only three people on a show, then you can talk forever, but there's four more people on a show. Shut up.
Right.
Get to the point.
Right.
Shut up.
Yeah. Okay. So another one that frustrates me is all these wars. And it's not so much as the wars. It is, but it isn't. But as in the Bible, Matthew 24:6 says, "And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So, you know, even though we go into war and stuff, the question to me is, why are we helping Ukraine? I mean, you know, is anybody else coming to their aid? We're spending billions of dollars on them. And then are they going to pay us back?
Germany. Oh, sorry. No, they're not.
Okay. So
no, I mean, look,
if I went and asked the president for some money, you think I could get some?
Absolutely. I would co-sign with you. I mean, if you went and said, Mr. Biden, you crazy old man, I needed $10,000, I would co-sign and say, give her $10,000, Red Biden, because as soon as he gave the check to you, he would have forgotten all about it in 5 minutes. You wouldn't even have to pay it back.
No, but I mean, you know, I mean, the man, you know, how much more of a deficit are we going to go into, you know, spending all this money, and you know, if we could print money
as
fast as we do, that's what I'm saying. Why can't we all get some? I mean, they're bringing these people over, and they're helping them, but yet they haven't seemed to find the time to help those who are in desperate need here now. And they're bringing more and more people over to the land of plenty. Well, there's not going to be plenty if everybody keeps coming and we keep sheltering them.
You,
I mean everybody has a right to life.
Yes, but you are a racist. You are a homophobic. You are Islamophobic. I can tell. That's because you don't want to help out these poor. Yeah, you. You're talking about these poor refugees, and you don't want to help them out.
No. It's not that I don't want to help them out. Is that why are they? I mean, why do they have to come to America?
Okay, let me interject and answer that question. I don't want to help them out, okay? The refugees, if they're legitimate to a certain degree. But the other people that are coming over, do you know how many people come across the border every month? You will not believe the figure.
I can imagine. Tens of thousands, probably.
200,000 a month. 210,000 last month, which set a record. Usually it's about, I would say 190,000 or so a month. I can't believe it. These are illegals who are coming over here because the government tells them to come over here. They say, we will help you out. They give them money. They have given them envelopes of money. They give them welfare as soon as they land on the shores. They give them housing. And I agree with them. I don't like immigrants. I don't like even legal immigrants. We have to take care of the people who were born here first. There's 48 million legal immigrants in this country. Legal immigrants. There's an estimated 15 to 20 more illegal. That's 68 million immigrants who have come into this country in the last 20 years. That is a lot of people to bring onto one's shores. A lot of people do say, well, we have the room. We've got all the space for that. Yeah, so what? You know how, just imagine, if they all take a shower a day, if they all have to go to the bathroom a day, how the kind of strain on the resources that they're putting on America just by being over here. Plus, they don't know the language. So then most of them do not have good jobs, and they're taking jobs away from America. Illegal immigration is my bugaboo. I don't like it. I want it to stop, but I have no say about it.
And why don't you have a say? You're an American.
Oh, yeah, I can write my congressman. Do you think that's going to do any good?
Probably not.
There you go. So what we have to do is concentrate on giving Americans power, not the immigrants who don't care about America. A lot of them are in the cartels. A lot of them are criminals. Most of them are not refugees. And by the way, according to international law, if you're a refugee, you're supposed to go and become a refugee and take up refugee status in the country nearest you. You don't travel 6,000 miles through 13 countries to come to America. So if you're going from Chile to here, you're supposed to reside in Bolivia. You know, if Bolivia is next to Chile, I'm not sure.
But how did they get here? The people from Ukraine, were they flown here? Did they come by boat?
They're flown here, they're on bus. They, look, the people who come across from the southern border from Ukraine, they're here by government help.
And yet the Americans here can't even get government help.
Not the same type of help that these people get. These people get help, I think, in starting businesses. You know, and they land on our shores, and 5 minutes later, oh, you know what? they're trying to change the law so that in New York City, if you're the legal, you can still vote.
What?
That's right.
But if you're a felon, you can't.
I think even if you're a felon, you may be able to. I'm not sure. I think they changed the law on that, too.
And that's in New York?
Yeah.
Wow.
It'll spread
throughout
the rest of the country. I can hear you. Well, I can't hear you, but I can imagine you doing your research right now on Google, looking up.
You know I am.
I know you are.
It says, in New York, the general rule is that you can vote after incarceration for a felony conviction or while you are on parole or probation. Voting rights of New York with felony convictions.
So they can vote in New York. Okay,
that
what about
correct.
The illegals? Look up illegal immigrants allowed to vote in New York.
Let me see. I may have to type something else in here. Hold on. But, I mean.
Just wake me up when you finish.
Ha, 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 ha. New York City's non-citizen voting law is struck down. A state Supreme Court, and this was in 2022, a state Supreme Court judge from Staten Island said that the measure, which would have allowed more than eight hundred thousand non-citizens to vote, violated the state constitution.
See?
Yeah. A state judge ruled that a move to allow non-citizens to vote would first require voters to pass a referendum. So, you know, I mean,
yeah.
And it's so funny because in Georgia, I mean, I know it's another state, they're trying to make it so that basically black people can't vote. I don't care where you are.
No, I disagree with that. The ID laws, I disagree with that statement. There is no anti-discrimination that's going on in Georgia or any place else by asking people to have a photo ID.
No, they're trying to make it hard for them to vote, I said.
Yeah, but how do they do that? The claim is that by asking people to get a photo ID, they're making it discriminatory.
No, because, I was watching the 1619 project, and I haven't finished watching it yet. But on that project, the day that some disabled voters were trying to vote, disabled, they said that they weren't in the right area as the zip codes, which they had been going to the same place, you know, all the years, and then all of a sudden they can't because it's changed, and they have to go to wherever zip code that they had given them to go vote, and they said they had to wait until 5 o'clock to do so, and so there's a group of people who were trying to, you know, help them vote. And this one lady made some phone calls and what have you and said, no, they can vote at the voting place that they've been voting for all these years. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, during voting, people who are in line and be in line for hours, they said that they can't get any food. Nobody can give them any food or any water during that time. That's just crazy.
I don't know about that. There's not supposed to be anybody within like 50 feet of a polling place that's supposed to be pro or con for any candidate. So I think that's probably the universally applied state rule.
Wait a minute. Say it again now. No, say it again.
I don't think that anybody who is either pro or con against a political candidate can be within 50 feet of the polling place making speeches or trying to be a pro or an anti candidate.
Cannot get food or water. No, this has been okay. The fact that okay, this is PolitiFact. It says. It says it's mostly false, but they have the fact about Georgia bans on food, water giveaways to voters.
They won't be telling the whole story. I bet you if I had a wagon, a water wagon, and I wanted to give water to people without preaching about any type of candidate, I could probably do so. I'm sure that people who are giving away water and food probably have a flyer that's attached to it, preaching about their political issues. You're not supposed to do that in a polling place.
Right.
I don't see why you shouldn't, You're there to vote. You might want some information about the people you're going to vote for. So I don't see why there should be a ban on anybody doing any politicizing, but there is.
Okay, it says, I've heard it a couple of times on this program at the idea that they've criminalized giving people bottles of water. They have not, said Holmes, a founder of a consulting firm. What is in the statute about what is absolutely clear is that they're preventing political organizations from giving people, which is true. Meals, water, whatever you have. Water is and should be provided at the polls for people who are standing in line. But that's not true. It says, are you really suggesting that it should be wrong to provide water or drinks to people waiting in line to exercise their democratic franchise? Wallace asked. Holmes replied, no, I'm not. What I'm suggesting is wrong to suggest that the law does that, he said later. If very specifically says that it can't be provided by political entities seeking to one way or another influence an outcome of a vote. But it's not. It's just people, hey, you know, you've been here in the line. Some people are diabetic. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, isn't that what I said?
Governor Brian Kemp signed SB 202 on March 25th. Voting rights advocates quickly sued and raised multiple objections, including to what the law says about food and water giveaways. But they were just from what I had seen on the news and everything. It was just people. It says voting rights advocates routinely. Excuse me?
The news is planted. CNN, NBC, they're very slanted. They're biased towards the left.
Okay. But no, you said what is it, the 1619 Project. I think it's like maybe four episodes or something like that, something like that.
Okay.
Hmm? It says the law makes it a misdemeanor to give away food or water within 150 feet of the outer edge of a polling place building or within 25 feet of any voter in line. Violations of this law are punishable by and up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. While people other than poll workers can give away food or water, they have to adhere to these boundaries to avoid breaking the law. So,
well, yeah. Again, the news doesn't always clarify is whatever they're mm-hmm. talking about. But in this instance, they're saying that they're trying to make it seem as though giving away water or food is a crime. What they're not saying is that there's an political organization that's doing it. The political organization is not supposed to be doing it. If the political organization wants to do it, don't advertise on your wagon that you're a political organization. Just give away the water and the food and shut up. If you want to help out people, you know, who are thirsty or hungry, then help them out. You know, according to the law, you shouldn't politicize. I don't see anything wrong in it. I think that, again, if I'm on the line and I'm getting some information, new information about a candidate, that's what I would want to know about. But then again, I'm curious. I'm always curious about that.
Right. Right. And this is on PolitiFact, so, you know, it is what it is.
I don't believe everything you read on PolitiFact.
On PolitiFact either?
Or on Snopes.
Snopes, yeah. That's I don't believe half the stuff that they say. Okay, so women's health, abortion.
Yeah.
What say you?
About women's health?
Women's health, abortion. You're so
abortion. I'm for abortions, but not for the reason anybody else would have.
Okay. And yours is, if you don't mind talking about it.
No, I don't mind. It borders on the metaphysical in that I've asked people, and I've never had anybody ever say yes to this question. Would you like to be immortal on this planet? Never die. I've never had anybody say yes once they thought about it. So
okay.
I've taken that particular question and I've made it, you know, and I've extrapolated from it another question. I would say, do you think that since if people don't want to be immortal, that I imagine, I'm talking about my own particular point of view, I would imagine that if a person dies, millions, you know, billions of us, okay, over the course of history have died, and they've been presented after their death with a spirit asking them, would you go back in time and do your whole life all over again, exactly the way that it was? I would say 98% of the people who would be asked that, the spirits now being asked by another spirit, would say no. Okay? Now.
Okay.
Because I don't think people would say, I want to go through that garbage again. Yeah, I've had some good times, but I've also had some bad times in 60, 70 years on that planet, knowing what's going to come. I don't think I want to go back. No. Now, if you had a choice to be immortal, you could never die. You could never feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I also throw in the little addendum that you won't grow old. You can pick any year that you want. Let's say if you wanted to pick the age of 31, you would remain 31 forever. Never get sick. Never die. Would you do it? Now I'm asking you, think about this. You can pick any age. You can stay on this planet forever. Never feel any physical pain. Never grow old. Knowing what you know now, knowing what the world is like, knowing what to expect from the world, would you want to stay on this planet forever and ever and ever? So I'm asking you.
No.
There you go. So life on this planet isn't all that great. So
it's not that it's not that great. It's just that, okay, like people like, you know, your family and your friends and so on and so forth, they're going to be gone. You have to make new friends, whatever.
Right.
You know, I guess if I could have more children or what have you, I could, you know, I might think about it.
Well, you can.
But, huh?
You can. You're going to be immortal. Sure. You can do anything that you can do now, but you will be immortal. You will never die.
That's almost like being in heaven.
Then you would be immortal. Then you would take if the spirit came to you and said, Inez, you can choose any age that you want to remain for 10,000, 20,000, 1 million, 2 million years on this planet. You will never die. You will never feel pain. Never feel physical pain. You might feel, emotional pain. So,
right.
would you want to choose an age, let's say, of about 35? Have you made 35 for the rest of your eternal days, knowing you'll never get sick, never feel pain?
You know, I would, kind of, sort of. It'd be different because then I could see how things have changed, you know, where I was when I was, you know, initially born, and then see how things progress,
I'm not saying you go back in time. I'm just saying to be immortal. I'm not, if you want to go back in time,
right.
I can make that. Do you want to go back in time?
No.
If you go back in time, you have to do the everything all over again the same way, and you know in advance what's going to happen.
Okay, so I would, so how do I want to say this? So I'd stay that certain age forever, but yet, you know, things would not change after that. Okay.
There's two different scenarios. One scenario is you have the choice of going back in time, okay? You can go back, let's say you're the age of 12. You want to go back to the age of 12? Go back to the age of 12. Now you're 12 years old. But you know what's going to happen from that time on. You know that on your 12th birthday, what you're going to get. You know what's going to happen. You know when you're going to fall off your bicycle. Everything is going to be the same. Exactly the same. But you know in advance that it's going to happen. So you know when you're going to marry your first husband. You know when you're going to marry your second husband. That's one scenario.
The other
scenario is, today, 2023, I can offer you the opportunity to stay here on this planet forever. You can't leave the planet, otherwise you lose your immortality. So if you go to Mars, you're no longer immortal. But if you stay on the planet, so from 2023, today is January 31st, you can choose whatever age you want to start off with. Let's say you thought 35 was your best age. So now you're 35, and from this time, from this day onward, you're always going to be 35. You're always going to look 35 years of age.
Uh-huh.
Never get sick. You'll never feel physical pain. But and you will remain immortal. You will never ever die.
And so everything around me would change and grow old and blah, 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 correct?
That's right. Exactly.
I think that would be kind of different, unique. You know, like I said, I would be able to see how things have changed, how things have progressed.
Right, and you'd be able to marry again, and you'd be able to have children who will die over and over and over again. And don't forget, since you will never die, you'll never see God.
Well, I see him every day, so, you know, and things are done, so.
So if you're going to be satisfied, then you're going to be, as immortal.
Because I'd be immortal, all right. That'd be different. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you would pick. That's right. And
what
you would
age?
See all the changes around you. You would see the wars.
Mm-hmm.
You would see the government intruding war upon you. You would have might have the New World Order come in, take over America. You might get sent to prison for whatever particular reason. And, you know, who knows? Or you could lead a very happy life. Who knows?
Right. Mm-hmm. I'd make new friends. They'd pass away. I'd make more new friends. They'd pass away. I'd have husband upon husband upon husband upon husband.
Right. That's right.
You can have whatever you like.
Well,
that's interesting.
Well,
that's a good question. Mike. That's a good one. Okay.
And
okay.
You'll be meeting
this
more
next
jackasses
one.
And
have more blog talk shows. Hey, I've been here for 50 million years and I'm still here. Why don't you look 50 million years old? Because I'm supposed to be just, you know, maintaining and sustaining this age. I'm not going anywhere, not doing anything. So I'm cool. I'm good in the hood.
That's right. So if you feel that that's the, you know, that's the life for you, then you can have it. I grant you immortality.
Thank you. I have been granted immortality by Montana Joe, my brother from another mother. I feel wonderful.
That's right. Well, I don't know. You might feel wonderful today. Who knows about tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, we see. We'll see. Okay. So, okay, so this next one is Trump versus Biden and the hidden documents. Have you heard about those?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing this out to the atmosphere because I don't know. So, you know, so they have copies of these documents, so they don't have the originals, correct?
No, I think they have the original documents.
Okay, so when... Well, Biden's been in the Congress and been in the Senate and been in politics for forever, so, you know, that's him. But when you're I won't say ousted out of office, but when you're no longer the president or what have you, don't you give up all those documents? Aren't you supposed to give up all those documents? I'm just asking because
yeah,
I don't know.
Right, you're supposed to give back to the government the classified documents that belong to the government, and there might be some classified documents that maybe the president or the vice president is allowed to keep. But they found classified documents in a number of places that are Joe Biden's and Hunter Biden's property, and those documents aren't supposed to be, they're not supposed to be the possession of Joe Biden. So the question is, what's going to happen to him? When Donald Trump was accused just a few months ago of having documents in his possession that supposedly did not belong to him, the SWAT team, FBI came down on him and they wanted to press charges. So is the same thing going to happen to this Klutz or is he going to slide?
Well, Donald Trump didn't want to give up his, and I don't know if that's the difference, but it's like Joe is, I won't say he's still in office, but he's still in office, but still in all. I mean, how do you, I mean, I guess the question is, well, that's not a question, but if you, how do I say this? I guess you can print stuff off at your location because, wouldn't Secret Service or whomever know that you're taking these documents or what have you? You know, if they're so classified to your home or to wherever?
No.
You said
I no? I don't know what. No, I'm just
throwing out a general question. No, I'm just throwing out a general question. I mean, because if... And I mean, I'm not the president. I want to be the president. I want to be the vice president. I don't want to even be in politics. But I'm just thinking that if these documents are all that, how do they get from one place to another without anybody knowing? You know, oh,
well, he puts
honey,
them in a box
can you take
that he has a friend that he has either he'll do it or he has somebody take the box to his car, and the Secret Service won't go to you know. Probe him, give him a body cavity search every time he leaves the White House. So it's possible.
Right. But then again, if your Secret Service detail puts these boxes in your car, and when you're out of office, wouldn't the Secret Service, wouldn't the Secret Service say, hey, you need to give these boxes back? I'm just throwing out just general questions. I mean, how does it get to be...
Oh, yeah, so that's why he wouldn't ask the Secret Service to put the boxes in his car.
So that's what I'm saying. So who put the boxes in his car, or the documents, or they could be in a briefcase for all we know, because, I mean, people have briefcases. So is it something that somebody's working on? I'm just trying to be in the know. Let's talk about it. That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to be in the know because it's like, that's just it. How do these documents get to these locations, except for probably being in the briefcase, and then you take them out because, you know, you don't think you're going to be, like you say, cavity searched or anything else, so you think you're in the clear. And so, you know, so then after you're out of office, it's like, okay, we need to do a sweep of your house to make sure that there's no documents that you have here, you know, that you're hiding or so on and so forth. That's what would, I would think needs to happen. So, you know, because when we get at, when we get cut from a job, we have to leave all of our stuff at work. We, you know, they don't ask us if we have stuff at home. You know, we don't take stuff home. Well, we don't take stuff home because our computers were usually and normally left at work. But now that we work at home a lot, how does somebody know that documents aren't at somebody's house, you know, type of thing? I'm just throwing out a generalization of a question.
Well, you don't know. You know, with regards to the president and vice president, this, So, I mean, if they want
and
to
so,
see,
Okay, and so how do they know that, well, for Donald, I think, you know, there was a cease, somebody seized the documents, okay? So how do they know to go and seize the documents from Biden?
Now, that's a question I've been asking myself. How do they know? I don't know how they know.
Okay. Okay. But, I mean, he's still the president, so it's not like he's hiding anything, which he could be hiding. But then again, you know, how was some – I mean, I just – I'm just questioning because if you work so closely with all these people – they would know that you would think that they would know that you would have these documents since he's been in office for, what, how many years, 50-some years, 60 years, or however long he's been in office. So, and then that's gone back to how many administrations?
Yeah, are these documents supposed to be documents that he's come in contact with as a president, or are these documents that he's come in contact with when he was a senator?
Right, right. And that's what I'm wondering. And I've been just hearing bits and pieces because I haven't, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what were the documents that Trump had that had to be hush-hush compared to the ones that Biden had? Were these documents from talks with other people in other governments? I don't know. I just, I'm just wondering.
My,
I'm just wondering.
Questions. Those are my questions.
So, okay. So next one. Why do some people who are running / driving, trying to get away from the law, get shot dead and some get tased and some are just chased with no event? No happening. That's a frustration of mine. It's almost like I struggle with, but this is a frustration. Why I'm frustrated, you know? Why do some people get treated different than others, regardless of who you are and what you've done?
Well, you know, there's that old saying, you know, just keep your hands on the wheel, keep your hands on, you know, through the window. Don't make any sudden moves, and don't talk back to the cop. And I think that's good advice. Even if the cop pulls you over, well, a lot of these people, they've had warrants out of their arrest, or had a
light
smash, or something's wrong. So that's why they run. If they run, the cops are going to go after them and beat the crap out of them. But if you're a person who's gotten pulled over, and, you know, you have nothing, you don't have anything to hide, you pull over, you keep your hands on the wheels, and you keep your mouth shut. Do you like being given a ticket? No. But do you like being hauled off in jail for being a smartass? No. So take the ticket and fight it in court.
And see, then again, they may have other paraphernalia and other stuff on them. So, of course, yes, they're going to run because they're going to get a deeper sentence.
That's right. So that's why they get paid. That's why they get shot. They're running away. And I've seen videos where cops were so patient. I couldn't be a cop. Number one, a cop takes a lot of crap. And number two,
yes,
there are some cops who are trigger happy. I wouldn't want to
right.
be trigger happy. And I wouldn't want to take a lot of guff off of some drunken jackass. So I couldn't be a cop.
And just like the lady cop that was supposed to be, you know, going for her taser, but then went for her gun, and she had been on the force
how
long?
Yeah.
You know. Okay, you know the difference between a taser, the weight of a taser and the weight of your gun, I would think. I don't think that they're the same weight.
No,
and isn't your gun on one side and your taser on the other, supposedly?
Right. Your taser is supposed to be on the side where, you know, it's not easy for you to pull it. That way you're not supposed to confuse it with your gun. I would
right.
think in the heat of the moment. I don't know if she's telling the truth or not. It seems plausible to me that she is. It's also plausible to me that she just didn't give a much blood. Either situation
mm-hmm.
could be true. I just don't know which one is the more dominant one.
And I know that she, you know, once she pulled her gun and shot him, she says, "Oh, I shot him." You know, she realized she had shot him. She didn't tase him.
Yeah, so it could have been a mistake. It could have been racism. I don't know. I think with human beings in a situation like that, either way is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, and that was enough
about
it. But
to answer your first question, why do people get shot and paid and other people don't? Well, if you run away, then you're clearly avoiding the police. If you're there just to get a traffic ticket or because you're drunk and you're going to get a ticket, just shut up, take the ticket, and go home. You don't run away.
Right.
What's that going to do? And if you're hiding
nothing.
Because you got a warrant out and you got contraband in your car and you start driving off, what do you think the cops are going to do? Be polite when they finally catch you?
Right, yeah. But, I mean, you know. It's just too many people die from, you know, senseless things, you know. When, I mean, you could just do a warning shot. Or now they're going to get ready, I guess they're starting to do bullets now, the rubber bullets or what have you. But still, you know, do a warning shot into the ground or somewhere. You know, because I think if somebody was shooting at me or I heard a gun, I'd stop like a scared rabbit.
A lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people wouldn't.
I mean, how far are you going? You think you're going to outrun a bullet?
Well, it's better than going to jail in their minds, right? They're going to take a chance of
I guess it depends on the circumstance, but still, I'm not trying to be crazy, but it's like, interesting. All I got to say is interesting. You know, some people, you know, shoot somebody and they get, you know, treated with the red carpet. Somebody else shoots somebody, you won't name any names, and they get shot themselves. It's like, you know, it's like death by cop. So,
yeah.
So, do you have anything that you're frustrated about? WTF?
Yeah,
why
talk,
the frustration?
Talk show host.
I'm a hostess. I am not a male. I'm a hostess.
Hosting.
Thank you very much.
Universal terms. non-binary term, including both genders. Unless you want to talk about how there's 30 million genders now. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? When people are trying to shove that off roads. Can you imagine what's happening now? Wait a minute. Let me get closer to the mic. Where's my mic?
Please.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, I should have been closer. Sorry. This should be better.
Yeah.
Can you imagine they're trying to make us believe there's more than two genders in the world?
Huh? Who's doing that now?
Huh? What?
Who's doing that now? When did that come about?
It's been around since last year, or maybe even the year before. Come on. You didn't hear about that?
I mean, no. Uh-uh.
That's what they're teaching children in school. There's more than two genders. You can be a man and get pregnant. You can also be a man and have a period.
Wow. No, I need to come
transgender
back.
Men, but you know, this is all nonsense about pronouns and binary and cis people and all that kind of good crap.
And that, you know, because even on like LinkedIn and what's the other one? I think Instagram and Facebook, you know, they have him or her. Or it's like, really? Really? Just call me by my name and I'm happy. Don't call me anything else. Don't call me out of my name. Just call me my name and I'm happy. You know?
Well, yeah, but if somebody says to you, I'm a binary person and my pronoun is they, you might get in trouble with human resources if you don't acknowledge it.
Well, I don't think I have to worry about that because I, you know, work for myself now, so I don't think I'm going to get myself in trouble.
You never know. The government's a funny place.
Draw a lawsuit on me, huh? It's interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, you could be presenting your wares to a client. The client may want to be called a she instead of a her, or a they instead of a her. So, and if you say, you know, her, or, you know, make any reference to her femininity as opposed to her binary cis choice, she might get in trouble.
Interesting. Very interesting.
You got to watch out, Inez. This world is changing. And don't forget, you're going to be immortal. So when the change comes, you're going to be right in the thick of things.
Okay. Change come. I'm going to be one of those people who's like, okay, change is coming. Get ready.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Change is coming. Like, everybody get ready. I can't sing, so I'm not going to.
Okay. We'll work on that.
You don't want to hear me sing.
It's all right. I mean, you know, it's all right with me because, no, we all can't sing, but we all can carry a tune in a bucket.
Yeah, especially the bucket.
Yes. You're funny. You are funny. What am I going to do with you?
You're going to want to hang up on me, but you can't do that, especially if you have like four or five other people on the show, because that would show you that you lost your cool. And you don't want to show people that. You don't want to show that Joe won. He got under my skin.
Nah, not going to happen.
You want
to
bet on it?
Not going to happen. No. No, thank you. I'm good. I'm good in the hood. Mm-mm. No, but that's basically the show for today. That was a good, interesting show, I thought. What you think? Hello? Joe? Okay, Joe. You're good. You are good. Oh, he dropped. Okay. Oh, he came back.
What were you saying about me? I heard you just say, oh, he came back. So you must have been talking about me before I came back. What did you say?
I said, Joe, he must have hung up on me.
No.
I said, oh, he came back.
No, my phone went to sleep. My app, it has a time limit of about an hour. No, it's about an hour and 40 minutes or a little bit over 2 hours. So when it reaches that particular limit, whatever that limit is, then it hangs up on me.
Oh, because, what time did you start? You started probably about, I don't know what time you started. Probably about 9:30 or so?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, 9:30 my time, so it would be Mountain Time, 7, yes.
I know, I always go
time?
By Eastern Standard Time, so I don't have to go through the process of time zone changing.
Okay. But no, I think we had a good show. We had interesting things to talk about.
Well, I'm a very good conversationalist. I think you will have to admit that, won't you? Nothing. She says nothing.
I'm not admitting a darn thing.
I know. I'm not giving Joe the pleasure of that answer, boy. Oh,
not no. The tall, not the tall, not the tall, not the tall, not the tall. You're so funny. I got you that time.
I actually listen more than I talk in real conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I estimate that I probably listen about a good 85% of the time, and I talk about 15% of the time.
I'd say today you did probably about more than half talking.
Well, I would have to. This is a talk show, you know, because
yes,
you're not especially talkative. You let people talk. It's like I do. I let people talk.
Mm-hmm. But I like to hear what people say. I like to have people who are listening hear what other people have to say and try to get them involved in what's going on.
Yeah. But other than the talk show, when I'm talking with a person, either in person or on the phone, I usually do way more of the listening.
Ah, okay. 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 Well, I thank you for joining us today, you know. Getting ready to do my
announcements. Okay, so that sounds like it's time to wind the show down. All righty. Well,
yeah, it's about 20. We got about 25 minutes left, what have you. So, unless you have something else that frustrates you, know.
No. Just. What's gonna be for next week?
Our Thursday. I don't know yet. I usually listen to what's going on, and then that's when I base my topic on. That's why I said, why the frustration? Because it's just, you know, unless you have something you want to talk about.
Doesn't come to mind yet. Who knows?
He said, not yet. Because, I mean, because I know we talked, you know, what do we all bring to the table? We talked about that. We talked about a lot of
things. Well,
I'd rather
talk about topics like that when Eddie B and Key and anybody else, you know, come to the show. But then I'd like to do it in a certain way. I'd like to do it by, you know, asking people personal questions, not too deeply personal, but having their opinions.
Right.
And doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Sophie's not coming back. Key's not coming back. Eddie's not coming back.
Well, no, Eddie was on.
When?
Eddie was on. He was on, what day was that? He was on one day.
Oh, not today.
He was in the background. Okay. He was on the background one day, and then
all right.
And I think the night that you dozed off on me, my headset, I think it connected to another headset, so I'm talking, and I believe Solution was trying to talk to me, and I didn't know, so I'm just talking, and not thinking that anybody else is here, but yet, you know how your line is still there, so I don't know. I think that's what had happened was my headset had connected to another old headset that connected to my phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. Look, if you want to end the show, it's okay. Because I can't talk for longer than a couple of hours myself.
Okay. We could talk about do women respect men more anymore? Or are they just...
No.
Their own, huh?
No. They don't. No, they don't. I mean, look, the strong, independent woman, she feels like she doesn't need a man, which she actually does psychologically, but yet this strong, independent label is a misnomer. To be strong and independent, yeah, fine. If you're going to be strong and independent and you don't share your money with your man and you expect him to do all of picking up, or most of the picking up bills, paying for vacations and everything, then you're a strong, independent parasite. You know, strong, independent, fine, but share. But if you don't share, then you're a parasite, in my view.
And you've heard of Clubhouse, right? I think you heard of Clubhouse, but you're not a part of Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. When are you going to have a show on Clubhouse? I can drop on in.
See, I don't know how to yet. I have never had a show on.
Me neither.
Yeah. And so I got to ask Laquita how to do that.
Oh, okay.
You do know how to set up a show?
They tell you how. You know, you go there and they ask you if you want to set up a show. And you set up a show by following the instructions. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even think my profile is even really set up, so I was like, eh.
Oh, I don't fill those things out.
Oh, okay. Because people, they cuss too much to me. You can't control what they be cussing, so no. I will mute you and send you back into the dark ages.
Well, okay, so I was on Clubhouse a few days ago because I got a notification that you know, a show was on, but the show was gone, and I saw your face. They're recommending you again.
Commending me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. What was the show? You don't remember?
Nah, it was just here are some shows that you might like. And they had your icon there.
Redhead.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I look different than that now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I look different than that. So if you were online and you were at the computer, you would see in the carousel, you know, some of the things that I have in the carousel that you'd like, oh, okay. So that's what she looks like.
Yeah, I know what you look like. You got a picture of yourself on your Blog Talk Radio page.
I do. I'm not being funny. I'm really not on my Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Okay. Because I don't even know what. Oh, it's probably the same picture. Is it Redhead Girl?
Yeah. That's why I call you Red. Yeah.
Well, it's not really red anymore. It's kind of a blondish something color. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in a white dress. I'm not in that. That was a work picture I had taken for LinkedIn. That's what that was. So, all right. Well, let me get through here so we can finish before midnight. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go because okay. I'm a little tired. So.
All right. I can hear it in your voice, but I appreciate you hanging with me this evening, Joe. And as always, you know, good conversation, good, you know, getting back and forth and stuff like that. So I appreciate you. I do. Even though we talk goofy about each other, I still appreciate you 100%.
I know you do. You should. Because I'm Joe. I agree.
Bye, Joe.
Gotcha. All right.
Bye, Joe.
Until next, I know. Until next time, Inez. You be
right.
You be careful, okay?
All right. Talk to you on Thursday. Take care.
Bye-bye now. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. All right. The announcements for this evening on tomorrow evening, February 1st, Bible study with Reverend Ronnie Marshall at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, as every show is. Thursday, February 2nd, let's talk about it with Miss Inez. Don't know what we're talking about yet, but we'll figure out something. And then on Sunday, first Sunday is February the 5th. We have communion with Pastor Betty Bennett from World Harvest Ministries International out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And Reverend Ronnie Marshall has a new song out. It's called Jesus Can Make You Whole. But please go ahead and support him and do all his music that he has come out with, and that's Don't Turn Away From God album, the Praying Man album, and Praise God album. And you can do that through CD Baby, through Amazon, through iTunes, YouTube, anything out there that has it to do anything with music, you can find him. So that's Ronnie Marshall, and through those different albums. And his newest song is Jesus Can Make You Whole. And to keep us to radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App at $ANAISEVALCOUR or through Venmo at MZ-INEZ or through Zelle if you know my email or telephone number. And we're also open to sponsorship. So if you want to become a sponsor, please send me an email at letsdoradio@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you in regards to that. Again, in case you missed an episode, and if you're interested in past episodes or want to share or listen to them again and again and again and again and again and again, you can go to On Demand at www.blogtalkradio.com /Let's Do a Radio and choose your episode. You can listen to this again, me and Joe, as we talked. You can listen to Sunday's episode with Pastor W.F. Pride, and it's God of Opportunity. And then last week we had two shows. I can't even remember. That's the same. We had the two shows on the American versus Foreign Women, part one and part two, so you can listen to that. So please go back and listen to anything you'd like to listen to. You go to to www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, and then you can scroll through, and then you click on the arrow down underneath the episode that you want, and then it'll start playing. And there you have it. You can listen. And it seems like the worldwide listeners have been tuning in to what seems to be the Let's Do It Radio segments on relationships, because that's what it seems like we've been talking about, trying to get ahead on relationships and marriage and being loved and being healed and trauma and so on and so forth. So go ahead and listen, and maybe we can help you through some of your relationships and what have you. And you can always join us at 845-241-9985 during the show, and we could talk about it. As I say, let's talk about it with Miss Inez. And you can listen online, go to the chat room, and talk to me as well in the room. And you can email me at letsdoradio@gmail.com if you have a topic you'd like to discuss or want to host with me. I'd love for you to host with me sometime. Holla at a sister, and we could be discussing your topic, so hit us up. And you already know, I want to thank each and every one of you online in the chat room and texters and the worldwide listening audience for joining in. And if you've got you know what, I'm supposed to be playing. You know what, that's not even right. I forgot what I'm supposed to be doing. Y'all had me all Twitter-pated. Yep, that's me. That is me. That is me. There you go. You already know. You can join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And listen and said, let's talk about it. You might just discuss your talk about topic or what you want to talk about. You never know. We might, because we're going to do tales for all over the place, and then we come back, and then we go all over the place, and then we come back. So I want to let you know I have been your host for the evening, Miss Inez, you know, fashion designer of On Night Up to Design at www.inaisdalcoo.com. You can find it on Facebook and Instagram under the same Anais Lakhu. And the thought of the evening is, I'm not number one in my own life. What makes me number two to every, that makes me number two to everyone else. This is from J. Rick Ross to the second. Random thoughts. You can buy his random thoughts while thinking out loud and collecting my thoughts by it. David Rollins the second at textbookx.com. So I want to thank you to everyone who is in for joining me. And we're going to close out on a couple of songs. The Revolution will not be televised. We played that, but I'll probably play that again. But it's the original one by Gil Scott-Heron. But first, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have some Marvin Gaye. What's going on? And Mercy, Mercy Me. Let's hear some Mercy, Mercy Me.
Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to do last night. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
about it, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Talk to me so you can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal.
The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Revolution sure will be televised, and it will be live and as in living color. As of today, we have body cams, we have the eye in the sky cameras, we got doorbell cameras, so you all cannot hide. We will find you. As on, what was that movie, the show, Person of Interest? You cannot hide, so we will find you. But here is a prayer by DMX that he gave, because he had not prayed before, that I'd like to end on. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening. Until we meet again, the revolution will be televised on the World Wide Web.
Father God, I am just learning how to pray. Bear with me. First, I thank you for the life of everyone that's here with me. Then I thank you for the love you give me. Why? I don't know. I don't deserve it, and it hurts inside. Many a nights I cried and called your name out loud, but didn't call you when I was doing good, too proud. And still you gave me love. I wasn't used to that. Most of the people that gave me love ended up taking it back. That's something new to me. So I'm asking you for time to adjust. Let me make it there. I will be one you can trust. What I stand for, I put my life on. I do. I guess what I'm asking is, show me how to stand for you. And I will rap for you, sing for you, reach for you, preach for you, teach for you. I will love you like you love me, unconditionally. And I will always be prepared for whatever the mission will be. Give the nutrition to me, and I'll properly digest it. And when I give it back, I will show you word well invested. And whenever I go, before I go, let me give thanks to you, Lord, for my birth, for every day that I've lived. You gave me a love most of my life I didn't know was there. I give you my life because you cared. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Have a good night. Be blessed. Stay safe.